Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am John Batchelor. Where in the world is Michael Yan? When last we spoke with Michael, he was in the Japan archipelago, I believe in the Okinawa chain, searching out answers to questions that haven't been asked yet. And I've missed him these many months. Hardly any news except for the national election. However, you might remember that the national election turned on two stories: inflation, which has been pretty much out of control since the exaggerated government spending of the late Trump administration and the whole of the Biden administration. But the other one, the selling point, the thing that now President-elect Trump talked about at every rally, was migration. Michael spent years identifying the problem at Darien Gap. It's still a problem. It's going to be solved. However, Michael, a very good day to you. Thank you. Where in the world is Michael Yan? Good evening to you.
I'm at Buenos Aires, Argentina, at latitude minus 34, which is like North Carolina or very south, totally southern SoCal, northern Africa. So it's actually, it feels like it's the evening here, but it feels like it's totally springtime. It's nice and cool. Beautiful weather. It is Buenos Aires. It's very beautiful air here in Argentina.
And you've gone to Argentina from, you were in the Far East. I believe you were last in Thailand. So let us proceed from the conversation we had in Okinawa. Where did you go after that, Michael? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was in Okinawa doing research and with Misako Ganaha, and then somebody here in Argentina wanted to pay Misako and I to come speak at an event because of so much research we do around the world. And so they flew us in from Japan to Argentina. And let me tell you what, that was a long flight. That was like, oh man. And so, but anyway, we made it. And you know, it beats going on a ship, that's for sure. And then we spoke, and we've been rolling around and learned so many things. Like some of the people we spoke with, they're the type of people that do move around the world. And I found Americans and Germans and others, believe it or not, here in Argentina, they came to this talk that we did, but these people are moving to Venezuela, you know, where Tren de Agua comes from and invades Colorado. They're literally moving to Venezuela. You can't make up this stuff. We're like hermit crabs swapping shells. So we have Westerners moving to Venezuela while Venezuelans just dump out and go to Colombia and Panama and Mexico and the United States and Canada.
I'm puzzled. What's in
What's
in Venezuela? Just trouble and famine. Why are they going to Venezuela?
Yeah, well, I ask them that question, as you can imagine. We talk for hours. And by the way, here in Argentina, IOM is here as well, the International Organization for Migration.
Yeah.
And so we walked in there. Misako and I walked in there, like 6 days ago on Monday. We walked in and we asked for a job. I'd like to be the director of IOM. But anyway, IOM said, no, they're not hiring anybody right now because of the American elections. And they're afraid that the United Nations, because, you know, IOM is part of the UN. They're afraid that their funding is going to get cut and they're going to have to cut the UN. I was like, bravo. I didn't say that, of course. I was like, well, how do I apply for a job? And they're like, well, sorry, we're not hiring anybody at the moment. But you can apply with our main office there in Geneva and all this stuff. But anyway, so we talked with them and they're like, I said, why is IOM in Buenos Aires? And he's like, well, you know, we help people move to Buenos Aires. You can get free medical here, free education. I said, I've seen a lot of Senegalese people, you know, from Africa on the streets here in Buenos Aires. He said, oh yeah, we've helped many. And he said, but the number one group that come here to Argentina are actually from Venezuela. He said that's the number one. And then Paraguayans and Bolivians, right? So Bolivians, Paraguayans, and Venezuelans are the, but Venezuelans being number one. And I said, what about Chinese? He said, a lot of Chinese are coming too. We just went to Chinatown, by the way, a couple of days ago. But he said, a lot of Chinese are coming, but the Chinese government helps them. So IOM doesn't have to help the Chinese much. And so isn't that interesting? So anyway, you ask about the Westerners who are going to Venezuela. I said, why in the world are you moving to Venezuela? Because you're not the first ones that's told me that. A lot of them are going to like El Salvador, which I understand that. I went over to El Salvador earlier this year with Misako, and we checked it out. And I can see why Westerners are moving there, actually. But one of the reasons that they're going to Venezuela is because they're like, it's safe now. And a lot of the parts like Margarita Island, where a lot of them are moving to, they're like, you know, it's the Wild West. You don't need permits for anything. You know, it's like you do whatever you want. You can open a business. And Venezuela, they say, pushes Bitcoin. And so Bitcoin is accepted there, just like in El Salvador. And so you can transact there, you know, sans bank, right? So you can, you don't have to go through a lot of the hassles with the banks if you can use the Bitcoin and these sorts of things. And they just like it. I mean, and again, these people that I was talking with are from Germany and France, and I think one was from Russia and different countries, United States, moving to Venezuela.
That is surprising, Michael. I'm going to have to think about this one.
I know, and I'm still thinking about it.
To all the reporting, Caracas is a deeply troubled, compromised city, and Maduro is under extreme pressure. The economy has collapsed, to my understanding. There's a state within a state. I mean, I'm not speaking about the regime. I'm talking about the people who have migrated. So you're in Buenos Aires, and I'm learning. IOM, we better define that, Michael. IOM, weren't their offices the ones that were burned in the camp in the Darien Gap? Wasn't that their computers, or was that somebody else's?
That was Cinefront's computers. But IOM works in that camp, in San Vicente camp. That's the camp that you and I did. I don't know. We did so many interviews from right beside that camp, and I think one or two inside the camp. And, you know, that's the main – I call that China camp because that's the main camp that the Chinese use as they're coming through the Darien Gap. And but it's called San Vicente.
That's the one Mayorkas paid for. Or let's put it this way. That's the one it looks like Mayorkas paid for. Correct?
Oh, he definitely paid for it. I was physically present the day he came down with four Black Hawk helicopters.
Michael, we've learned to be careful about this.
I'm being very careful. He definitely paid for it. You know, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, I mean, I was there making photos, right? And he put it on his Twitter and everything else. Now, the camp was already built, but he expanded it. And he expanded the other camps as well. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm ready to go to court.
Now, I have a story to tell about that camp. It came up, and I can't remember where it came from. I was so surprised about the fire that hit the records. I remember you puzzled about why did they hit that. Why did they hit those records? They were being kept by Cinefront. Cinefront is the first-rate border patrol run by Panama. The story came this way, Michael. It was Trendy Aragua that hit the records.
Now, we know that some of the Trendy Aragua were rioting. We know that. I mean, I think I reported on that within, I don't know, 24 hours or less. I'd have to look at my own records that were whatever is online, actually. But we know Trinidad Agua was definitely part of the big fight. And we've been curious the whole time, was that targeted, actually, because we had just left the camp, I don't know, a few days before, right? I don't remember.
It was very quickly after you were not there and the fire broke.
It was a day or two or three. It was very quick. We had just left, and then, boom, the fire happened.
Right.
We had been reporting that those records are, they've got everybody who came through, right? I mean, that would be an intelligence bonanza, and suddenly they were burned. So there you go.
And the explanation, I'm remembering it incompletely. I beg your pardon, but it was that would be the one place you could determine who was coming, because there's no comparable check in Mexico. They throw away their identification, or they come up with false identification.
And actually, let me say one thing to be very specific. We don't know that the records burned. I know that camp very, very well. Now, and shortly after the fire, somebody went down there and droned it for me and also walked on the ground. So I've got images from above and on the ground. The building where not a building, it's a trailer where the records were definitely burned. However, we don't really know that the records burned because they could have been captured as well, because I know that camp very well. To get to the front gate or the back gate from where the fire was, it's like 30 seconds to the front gate and about, 60 seconds to the back gate, I mean, it's maybe 90 seconds. So I don't know, if you go to the back gate, you could have absconded with those records. Those records would be very valuable, I think. Now, I think it depending on your motivations, either to destroy the records would be one motivation, so burn them, or abscond with them. You'd still want to do a fire to make it look like the records were destroyed.
Another detail I remember is coming back to me now. Trendyaragua is the name. The from Aragua is a location outside of Caracas where there's a prison. And Trend Train, that means the gang. Trendyaragua. That province was overseen. The governor of that area was the man who is the major contact with Hezbollah in Iran, serving as the oil minister or the vice president. That came up. So Trendyaragua is a paramilitary organization doing the bidding of Caracas. That was the suggestion in the report that I have. They were looking at an ambition to undermine the credibility of the United States of America by sending those ops into Central America, into America, to take over gang routes, which is what they're doing.
Yeah, Venezuela has a close relationship with Iran and China and also Russia.
Right.
And also, there was a bombing, 1992, I believe, two bombings. One was in Panama, blew up an airliner, killed, and the target was Jewish people, clearly. And within roughly 24 hours, there was also a bombing not far from where I'm at now, here in Buenos Aires. They hit a Jewish center and killed about 80, as I recall. Now, interestingly, one of the family members of one of those killed in Panama just messaged me a couple days ago. We're in communication, but he lives in Panama. As you know, there's a big, actually Buenos Aires is a huge Jewish town, by the way. But interestingly, one of the masterminds of the bombing is thought to still be alive and on Margarita Island, the island where I just told you those Westerners are moving to. Wow. Isn't that interesting? So a Hezbollah guy.
I'm making a note here. I'm speaking to Michael Yan. He's in Buenos Aires. He's given us his travel log since we last talked to him in Okinawa. But when we're going to turn to what Michael's observed from outside the United States about the tumult that we just survived called the election of 2024 and the return of border security, we're told. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Michael Yan, @Michael_Yan for watching his reporting. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.